Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Guys, I've sounded a little bit loud, William, and I don't know, obviously you can adjust that. I want to apologize to any visitors that are here this morning. I've already insulted you by saying I'm glad it's just us and no guests, and so I obviously, you know, I did not mean those of you that are here, only those that aren't here, and how's that? You know, am I digging deeper, huh? Yeah. Yeah, so, and I've been struggling all morning whether I would share this or not, but obviously my son, who is 4 years old, goes out of the house this morning. He says, I want to go to a different church. And I said to Mom, I said, what did he say? And he said it again. And I said, boy, I hope everybody else doesn't think that this morning, or there won't be anybody here. So I'm thrilled that you're here, and I'm glad you didn't go to a different church. Why don't you stand with me, please? Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall see be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, he took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word of God, and this is a familiar passage to this church. I've gone to it many, many, many times over the years. It's a foundational truth of the subtlety of Satan in the battle that we fight, in the way that he tempts us and tests us, the trials of life that we go through. Lord, I pray that we would understand as we see things in this lost and sinful world of the battle that is being waged that we are in. Lord, help us never to forget that this is a fight. It's a struggle. Many times we get caught up in it and are taken unawares. I pray we'd be reminded once again this morning of where we are, what we're called to do, and who is leading us. Bless this time, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is part two of the trials of life, temptation. I started out 3 weeks ago talking about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and then we went to Father's Day and had some guests. But we talked about the fact that in going through life and talking to folks, it seemed to me a verse I was quoting more often than usual, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath been no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be or allow you to be tempted above what you are able to take, but will with that temptation or that trial make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And I don't know about you, but I've just noticed that it seems like people are struggling, nobody's happy. Everywhere you go, someone either wants to sell their house, quit their job, leave their marriage, you name it. Seems like there's no satisfaction. And sad to say, in a lost world, and it's almost the same in the Christian world. And I don't know what I think of that. So sometimes I think in the subtlety of Satan and the trials of life, I felt like we should talk about what you and I are surrounded with, and some of the things that we encounter, whether you see it on the news, or you run into it a coworker, or you see it in church, or wherever it is, we just need to be made aware of some of the things that are going on in life, whether you're experiencing them, or you're watching them through the eyes of someone else. And the tests in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it can be a temptation to sin. No temptation has taken you. It could be a temptation to sin, or it could just be a trial in life that you didn't do. You had no part in, but all of a sudden you find yourself in the middle of it. You say, how did this happen? It's called life. Thomas Paine said at the start of the Revolutionary War, these are the times that try men's souls. World War I was the war to end all wars, only be outdone in 20 years or so later with World War II. In World War II, 6 million Jews were innocently gassed and incinerated. People had to wonder where God was. We've had countless wars since then. The United Nations was started with the idea of bringing world peace, and their monument in the North Garden of the UN building is one of a sword being turned into a plowshare, and of course a biblical reference to the book of Isaiah. The United Nations has been a miserable failure at bringing world peace. In our time today, and just the news this week, North Korea launched an ICBM. That ought to bother you. We're trying to get China to calm them down, and just my thoughts, China's not interested in calming them down. Because the more enemies America has, the easier their job is. Because China is no friend of the United States of America, whether they want us to believe they are or not. You and I know our Bibles. We know how things go at the end. We know Russia will never be a friend, and China will never be a friend. The Middle East is ravaged with terrorism and civil war, and Syria is just hard to figure out. Iran is developing nuclear weapons and helping North Korea to do it as well. America itself as a nation, I think, is as divided as it has ever been since the beginning of the Civil War. Now, obviously, I wasn't around Civil War. Neither were you. But leading up to the Civil War, there was the North and the South, and we all know how that went. It was a terrible time in America. The nastiness in politics going on now just exposes the heart of who we are. As David Jeremiah aptly wrote in his book, "I never thought I'd see the day." You and I are seeing things. I don't even want to say from the pulpit some of the despicable lifestyle choices people are making. It's just embarrassing to talk in a public setting. I never thought I'd see the day. Gideon asks the question in Judges 6:13 as an angel met with him and told him, "Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. God is with you." And Gideon's response was, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why has all this befallen us?" That's a good question. Why has this befallen us? Say that with me. Why has this befallen us? There are forces that are active in the world that are totally opposed to one another. And you and I see the effects of the agendas that they are leading. John 10:10 says, and this is a verse every one of us should have memorized, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come," Jesus is speaking, "that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So there's two diabolical forces going on. One good, one evil. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would." There's a battle going on. Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about things I'd like to do, I can't do. That's the inner struggle in the old man, the new man that we fight personally. Then there's the outer struggle where Satan is trying to tempt us and lead us astray. And Christ said, "I'm coming that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And Satan comes along, the bad guy, and he's saying he comes to steal and kill and destroy. And the maniacal part of all that is he's going to make you enjoy it while you're doing it. He's going to make you think this is the greatest thing, and you're headed for death, and you're loving it, and you're dying, and you think it's okay, and then it's not as satisfying, and you think if I just do more of it, I'll get that old satisfaction back. It will never work, and Satan's lying to you. It reminds me, if you follow politics at all, back in the early 90s, a guy named Ross Perot says, "I'm going to be president of the United States, and I'm going to use your money to do it." And he almost did. And Satan's saying, "I'm going to think that you, or make you think you're so set in life. I'm going to use your own pleasure to do it, and I'm going to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you, and you're going to have fun doing it. But you're headed for hell." Hello? Old show. My wife and I have quoted it many times in the Andy Griffith Show. That if you remember the episode where Barney bought a car, And it's just one of the funniest, it's one of the all-time favorite Andy Griffiths episodes is where Barney bought a car and they're all deciding they're going to go for a ride, Barney's new car. And he bought it from this little old lady who was actually a shyster, but he didn't know that yet. And so they're all trying to figure out where they're going to sit in this new car. And they're all excited that Barney's got that he's got this car. And so Gomer has to sit in the back and Gomer gets a little car sick, but that was where he had to sit. And we just got to watch out for him. And so they're going down the road and they said, Gomer, you having a good time? Sick as a dog, having the time of my life, he says. And so that's what we say every now and then. We're not feeling as sick as a dog, but having the time of my life. And we're quoting Gomer. Well, you know what? A lot of folks are sick as a dog. They think they're having the time of their life, but Satan's leading them to death. That's one force that's going on. On the other side is Jesus Christ. He says, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, and not in that verse. And when it's all said and done, I'll take you to heaven when we're through. And you know what? Most people don't choose that. Huh? I'm not making this up. Because Satan, the subtlety of Satan, he's so good at what he does. People would rather have a little pleasure now and put off what the inevitable is. Let's not think about that. Let's not go there. I'm having too much fun right now. But they're going to die. Or he's going to steal something from them, destroy them. Ever see a drug addict on the side of the road? I have. You have, we all have, street people. I'll bet if you talked to them early on, when their life was okay, they thought they'd just dabble in this a little bit. Try it, see what they think. I'll bet they never saw themselves destitute at the side of the road. But that's where they're heading, they just don't know it. And I'm telling you, without Christ this morning, you may be all dressed up and looking great, but you are destitute, headed for horrendous pain and trouble and turmoil. Whether you realize it or not, that's where Satan is taking you, and you need to see that for what it is. He comes to steal and kill and destroy, and we could take the rest of the day. I could tell you story after story, life after life, where they never saw it coming, but he got them. Two, diabolically opposing forces. One, promises to bring life and life more abundantly. And the other one comes to steal and to kill and destroy. He's the father of all lies. And you and I see that being played out in the world today. And you and I get caught up in it at times through no fault of our own. 6 million Jews went to the gas chamber just because of who they were, because Satan is evil. Wasn't their fault. And you and I can run into some struggles in life. And I just want you to know that the effects of sin are everywhere, and it's affecting our life. The trials of life. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, the lies of Satan, Jesus said he's a liar and the father of it. But on the other hand, there's the truth of God. Psalm 105 says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and the truth endureth for all generations. God is good. Say that with me. God is good. Not only is God good, John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. God's word lasts forever. You know, it's an amazing thing to me that I use the King James Version of the Bible. There are many versions represented here this morning, I'm sure. But, you know, this book, the original one, was 1611, that we're talking 400 years. God's word has been around for all time. He said his word would abide forever. You and I still have it. No other book even comes close to the popularity, the desire, the demand for this book right here. Folks, this is a God thing. Just the Bible alone, God's word endures. The truth endures. An old preacher that used to say, time is a friend of truth. Truth endures. I'm just saying that because those are the forces that are going on. We have the lies of Satan or the truth of God's word. In Genesis 3, we've told the story this morning. It's interesting to me, and you've heard me talk about this many times, Satan walks into the garden. We have a perfect setting, no sin, nothing wrong. There's always someone finding fault. So what's Satan do? Satan comes in and says, so what is there you can't do around here? Say nothing about what you can do. It's perfect. Say that with me. It's perfect. Satan's just looking for something. Isn't that the way he is? Just needling you. My brother Floyd is in heaven now. But he was the one just enjoyed needling you. He was a teaser. He just, if he found some weakness you had, he'd just put it, stick the knife in, twist it a little bit, and then he'd just love it. He was Satan. That's what he was, you know. We've all got brothers and sisters. We all the sibling things going on. But there's Satan walks into the garden. Yeah, what can't you do around here? And he's just got to point out that, you know what? You don't know it all. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Forever. There's a big difference, folks. So Satan comes in, what can't you do? Obviously, you're familiar with the story. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life are the temptations that Satan is still using. Paul goes on and he narrows it down even further. In 1 Timothy 6:10, he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money, it's the love of it, the pursuit of it. And if you're pursuing more money, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, which while some coveted after, or lusted after, or just had to have, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Erred from the faith means that these were believers pursuing wealth, left the faith after their own gain. What were they after? Three things: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That's the battle that goes on. The lies of Satan would include some examples of today. And I'm running out of time, but feminism is one of those things. It breaks up the family. Ladies, you're told that you don't need a man. Gloria Steinem is credited with a saying that really came from a lady before her named Irina Dunn in 1970. The saying is, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Okay? That's feminism for you, okay? Irina Dunn really stole that from a philosopher that said, man needs God like a fish needs a bicycle. So you got to understand that the root of all of these godless ideas are a godless society. The real enemy isn't man, ladies. The real enemy is God. Don't, whatever you do, do anything that God says will bring you happiness. And now in the UK right now, 20% of women in the United Kingdom that have bought into this, 20% of them are going past their childbearing age, not finding a man worthy of marrying them. They're freezing their eggs so that later, if they find someone, they'll be able to have children because they're past childbearing age. This is a disaster, folks. I just want to say something to you, that when you buy the lie of Satan, whatever it is, doesn't matter what it is, as time goes by, he's robbed that from you. You can't get it back. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's serving the Lord, whether it's getting married, whether it's having a family, whether it's pursuing whatever God wants you to do, for whatever amount of time he can take that from you, you can't have it back. What am I saying? Serve God today. Today. That's just one of the things. Obviously, there are other things going on. Islam is a disaster. There's no good Islam. There's no good belief in that. The world would want you to believe that there's good Islamists and then there's radical Islamists. And if you stay right from the... No, they're all bad, folks. They're all bad. Okay, don't get any idea that, well, we can get some good out of it. No, you can't. It's poison. The Asian carp. You can say, what's fish got to do with it? The Asian carp is 10 miles from the Great Lakes, if you read the story this week in the news. They've put up electronic barriers. If the Asian carp gets into the Great Lakes, it's such an invasive species, it'll wipe out a $7 billion industry in the Great Lakes. 50,000 to 60,000 jobs will be lost. We're scared to death that the Asian carp could get into the Great Lakes, and it is a problem. But we're not concerned about whether radical Muslims can get into Michigan. Whatever you say, don't say anything. You say, folks, this isn't, what are you saying, Stan? People won't want to hear this. Somebody's got to say that there's an enemy out there, and we're not talking about immigration, we're talking about invasion. And it's a lie of the enemy if we'll just be nice to them. Well, you know what? 8 years of the last presidency showed that being nice to our enemies has only put us in more trouble. If you see sin, confront it. And if it's doable, kill it. Now, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about Satan, the enemy. Does this make sense? Because we are in a battle. And there's two sides. And I choose the side of Jesus Christ. And for anyone that doesn't want to be on Christ's side, whether you choose it or not, you're on that side. You're serving the enemy. And I'll tell you, folks get offended when you say, well, you know what? If you're not serving the Lord, then you're serving Satan. It's, well, I'm not serving Satan. If you're not serving the Lord, you're serving Satan. I know that's not popular, but it's true. You have to choose your side. Not choosing is a choice. So here we are. We've been talking about the entrapment of sin, the enticement of sin, the entrapment of sin, and the entombment of sin. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's a price to pay. The pitfalls of temptation, and lastly, the parameters of temptation. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I'm going to give you three things very quickly, and we're done. Number one, no sin is too powerful. It can't be stopped. You know, Flip Wilson made famous, "The devil made me do it." The devil can't make you do anything. It is not possible for you to be overcome by anything. You have the power within you through the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ to stop the enemy. They cannot overcome you. No temptation has taken you that is too strong for you. It's not possible. So, number one, it's not too powerful. Number two, it's not too personal. Now, there's the ladies' Bible study. So, what was it? Was there a book called Lies Women Believe? Is that right? I love the title of that book. I've never read it, but I know you ladies have studied that. Lies Women Believe. Well, I want to write a book, Lies Satan Has Told Me. Okay? Well, number one, some of the things we'll think is that Satan will come along and say, you're the only one struggling with this. Don't tell anybody. And I'll tell you what, if you keep your sin a secret, it will have you. If you expose it, it loses its power. And I found, shocking. All things are common. If I struggle with it, chances are Ben has, chances are Caleb has, chances are Tom has, chances are Pete has. All things are common. We don't just, no sin is the only, I'm not the only one struggling with it. Well, that's one lie Satan will tell you. Don't tell us all. No one. You know, people will say, I can't believe that. I don't ever want to be around you again. If that's how they are, they weren't a friend anyway. I don't want them. But things are common. We all struggle with the same things. Number one. Number two. Satan will come along and tell you things like, you're the hardest working one here. Nobody works like you do. And while he's telling you that and you're getting all puffed up with how hard a worker you are, you know what he's telling everybody else? Stan doesn't do a thing. He's the laziest pastor you've ever been around. He preaches twice on Sunday, takes the rest of the week off, and he doesn't do anything. And then he gets Mark and Scott and all of us to do everything, and he's sitting back there getting fat. The fat part might be right. But so he's so good at dividing and thinking, here I am the hardest worker in the church, and here he is telling everybody else that I don't do anything, and isn't that how it is? Be careful of the lies Satan will tell you. There's no sin too powerful, there's no sin too personal, and there's no sin too piercing. It was the perfect storm. The planets were aligned. I just never saw it coming, and it got me. Not possible. Not possible. But boy, doesn't he tell those things. Never has happened to any one of you. Boy, doesn't he say those things. Yeah, thank you. I guess I'm the only one that's ever been tempted in this church. Number one, if you're in a battle, you can handle it. Number two, do not be deceived. You're not alone. I was thinking of Elijah. Elijah's crying to God, man, I just had this battle and I'm all alone and I'm the only prophet doing it, everything. And God looks at him and he says, in 1 Kings, he says, no, I got 7,000 of them just like you. Haven't done anything wrong yet. And we think we're all alone. You know what? God's got an army. We're not alone. And lastly, why has this befallen us? Because we are in a sinful world and we can't avoid the consequences of sin. Whether it be our sin or the sins of those around us, there is a cost. Folks, this world's hard. Times are tough. I don't want to embarrass anyone. We got a family here that needs brain surgery. Families going through divorce. Christians going through... It's not okay, but it happens. Someone fighting MS. Others struggling. The list goes on and on. Cindy didn't choose MS. It happened. We don't choose cancer. It happens. We don't choose for our company to downsize and lay us off. The economy happens. What am I saying? I'm saying it's a battle out there, but we have God Almighty. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is nothing behind me that's better than what's ahead of me. I am going to heaven when I leave this place. Get excited about the trip. Get excited about the destination. And most of all, if you're here this morning, and you've chosen the losing side. Well, Stan, I haven't chosen that. I'm not doing that. Listen, no choice is a choice. You either choose Jesus Christ or you've chosen to lose and you've bought Satan's lie. Why not give your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I hope this message has made sense. There's so much here, and next week we'll talk about the champion of our salvation, the God who leads us. Lord, we don't have time to explore everything, but today we've exposed the battle that we're fighting in. And Lord, I choose Jesus Christ. I choose the abundant life. I choose to give my heart and life to you, and I recognize that bad things can happen, and they will happen. It's a sinful world. Ever since Adam took a bite of the fruit that he knew he shouldn't, we are still paying. And then Lord said to say, I choose poorly at times. I choose wrong. But you said if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I serve a loving, merciful Savior who loves me and loves me and loves me when I don't deserve it. Thank you for that. Lord, we're not trying to beat anybody up. We're just trying to expose where they're at. And if there are folks here that have never chosen Jesus Christ, I pray right now they'd say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior.